Please turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to continue this morning looking a little bit into the issue of the walk of the believer. And this morning we're going to look a little bit about how we got to be in this place that we're at, how it is that we can even have a walk. So Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to begin our source text this morning in verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. Paul says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day that we have, and we're thankful for the truth and the light that we have from your word. And as we'll look this morning, we're thankful, Lord, that you've saved us, pulled us out of our sin, and placed us into your light. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We've looked at the issue of in Ephesians 5:1 about being followers of God as dear children. And then knowing that there is a path to follow, that Christ doesn't just save us from our sin and then it's up to us to figure things out. And he says, last week we looked at verse number 2 where he talks about walking in love as, and then he tells us how it is, he gives us the example as Christ has done it for us. But we're to walk, and we're to walk in love. But walking in love is the love that Christ has, not the way that the world describes love, which is just accepting everything. If it were the world's definition of love, the walking would be accepting of all darkness and everything, and we just blend it all together. And then when we have everybody happy, everybody will be in misery. Verse number 8, though, of Ephesians chapter 5, talks about a different walk. He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." I've said it when we started looking at Ephesians 5. There is a life to be lived as a believer. There's a walk to be walked, and it's one that's to be walked in the light. It's not to walk in the sinfulness of your own flesh. There's 4 points that I want to go over this morning, and knowing me, we'll probably get through 2 of them, and the last 2 I'll have to hurry up through. And, you know, I'll just tell on myself a little bit. Usually when I'm preparing and I'm working through, I'm usually working to build up to a point. And I spend all of my time when I get up here speaking on the build-up that I never actually get to the point that it is that I'm trying to make. So, anyways, that's a little bit of insight into me. But the 4 points that I want to make are, it says there what you were. You were darkness. The second point is it says that ye are light. You were darkness. Ye are light. Now the third point, how is it that we have this transition? How is it that we got from darkness to light? And the fourth point is, okay, if we are light, then what does that mean for us? So the first point that I want to look at this morning is it says that you were darkness. What is darkness? And darkness, if you look through Scripture, it can cover different things, and we'll talk about some of those. Specifically, the darkness here is a description of your spiritual state before you trusted the gospel and light and life came in. You may be able to see physically. You may have physical eyeballs that have physical light that come into your retinas, and you can see things spiritually, but physically, but spiritually, you have no light and you're in darkness. And so you may be able to see physically, but you were in spiritual lies with your spiritual eyes. You were in darkness because you were believing the lie. Now, this darkness means that you're in sin and spiritually separated from God. If you're a part of God, then you're going to have light. If you're not a part of God, then you're going to have darkness. And in its most base form, if you understand that this morning, that's what we're going to build upon. If you're separated from God, you are in darkness. The separation from God was even experienced by the Son when our sin was placed upon Him and He died on the cross for our sin. And He says, Father, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And you read over in the book of Luke that there was darkness from the sixth hour till nine. That darkness covered the whole world. What does that mean? That means it wasn't like there was just darkness over Jerusalem and that the sun went around to the other side. Now here comes the flat earthers. They'll be coming at me for that one. But you understand that all of the light went out upon the earth, all around. And so there was no lightness because sin was being judged and there was a separation from God. You see, the unsaved are in darkness because they were in sin. And so the unsaved, if you go over to Acts chapter number 28, the unsaved are in darkness because they want to be in darkness. That's a point that I want to make clear to you, that the unsaved are in darkness because they want to be in darkness. Even when people can see physically, there's this blindness to their soul, spiritually speaking. And they do not see spiritually. In Acts chapter 28 and verse number 27, Paul says, for the heart of this people, Acts 28:27, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. So when you look at what Paul says there, when they close their eyes to go into darkness, what was the result? You see, he says when they closed their eyes, they didn't have understanding where? In their heart. When they close their eyes, this is an issue. What we're dealing with here is people without understanding. Now, the issue of light and darkness in Scripture often has to do with the issue of understanding. Does this mean that people are just ignorant through no fault of their own? The poor people out there in darkness who just, they can't help themselves, are they just poorly naive to God and therefore we have a lot of lost, innocent people in our world? Is that the case? Or is it through no fault of their own, or is that not the case? When it says that their eyes were closed in Acts chapter 28, so then they were walking in darkness, they were blind in darkness, notice carefully the wording and how that came to be. When it says that they closed their eyes, I want you to notice the words there. It says, who was it that closed their eyes? Acts chapter 28, look there at verse 27. It says, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. Who's the one that closed the eyes? They are the ones that closed their own eyes. And so God didn't close their eyes. God is what? Light. God is sending light, but they close their eyes. They don't want the light. They would rather walk in darkness. Why is it that they would rather walk in darkness? You know, for those of us who have come to some spiritual truth and we have spiritual understanding in the Word of God that we're able to discern it through the understanding that we have, it's hard for us to understand why anyone would want to walk in darkness. Why would you want to be so foolish? Why is it that they would rather walk in darkness? It says that they have closed their eyes. Why? Lest they should see and be converted. That's what it says. They've closed their eyes because they don't want to see, they don't want the light, and they don't want to be converted. They don't want Christ. Now turn over to Romans chapter number 1. Nobody's turning, are you? Because Acts 28, right there, Romans chapter 1. Now, men not wanting Christ, this is a clear testimony of Scripture. I mean, Paul says that in Acts chapter number 28. This is the book of Acts is a transitionary period away from Peter and the kingdom program in Acts 1 through 8. And then you come over to Paul, who's saved in Acts chapter number 9. And the rest of Acts is all Paul, wall to wall. You learn about Peter a little bit more in Acts 15 when Paul goes up to him and tells him what he's doing. You learn about Peter in Acts chapter number 10, only when God reveals to Peter what it is that God is going to now do by making the Gentiles clean and that he's going to go to them. But the rest of the book of Acts is now about Paul and Paul's ministry to go out to the Gentiles. And he ends it by saying, look, that these people, that they don't want to be converted. They've closed their own eyes. They don't want this. They don't want to see. They don't want the light. And they don't want Christ. And now Paul is going to go into his first epistle here that comes in the order of Scripture, his epistle to the Romans, dealing with the very issue of salvation and the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the righteousness of God to everyone that would believe. And now after he tells you that there is a gospel that is making righteousness available, he's going to go on to tell you why it is that you might need that gospel. So he spends the rest of Romans chapter number 1 telling men about their need. In verse number 16 of Romans chapter number 1, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The righteousness of God is revealed through the revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul. And so we have a revelation. We have some light that was given to Paul. Some light that the world never previously had before. And that's the gospel for our dispensation. The gospel of the grace of God. But that doesn't mean that the world had no light prior to this gospel being revealed to Paul. It's not as if the world was in complete darkness and they had no knowledge, they had no understanding, and they had no light. Paul said in Acts chapter number 28, they're closing their eyes lest they should see. And so they did it, and that should have caused the world had light, the world had understanding, the world had knowledge. And what it should have done is it should have caused the world to acknowledge the light, to acknowledge the truth, and to humble their hearts towards God. But the world had a cold heart towards God. Look at verse number 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, the point that I'm trying to make to you is that men are not wanting Christ. And that is the clear testimony of Scripture. That even when he's standing in front of them, they don't want him. They reject him. And so it says right here that men, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There's some revelation given here. There's some light. And what it says here is that the light is against those that hold the truth in unrighteousness. You see, man has the truth. What does Paul say there? It says that they hold the truth in unrighteousness. It doesn't say that they can't find the truth. It doesn't say that they don't have access to the truth. It doesn't say that they're ignorant about things. It says they hold the truth in unrighteousness. What does that mean? Well, it means that they take the truth that God has given them, they know the truth, they take it and they stomp it under feet, and they say they don't want it. They take it and they twist it. They hold it in unrighteousness, they don't acknowledge it to be what it is, and they don't value and esteem the truth to be true. But don't think that they don't have it, and that the whole lost, sinful world is out there in just innocent ignorance. It's not innocent ignorance. Look at verse number 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The Scripture says that those things right there, there are things that can be known. There is light if you want it. It was manifest in them. There's light there for the taking. Look at verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse number 21 there says, let's unpack this a little bit. Verse number 21 says that they knew God. It says that they knew God. They didn't start in a position of ignorance, and now they have to seek and find something that they don't know about. I don't know what it is I'm looking for, and I don't know where how it is to get there. That's not what the Scripture says. They're not in innocent ignorance. It says that when they knew God, that they glorified Him not as God. They start in a position of knowing God. Verse number 28, if you look down in Romans, it says that they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. So light being understanding and knowledge, they had some light, they had understanding, but they didn't operate based upon the light that they had. What is it that they wanted to do? They wanted to push God out of their cranium. They wanted to push God out of their heart and out of their mind and out of their soul instead of loving Him. And so then we get to the issue of vanity in their thinking and their heart being darkened. They denied the truth. They didn't want the understanding. It says there that talks about that they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. Where is it that the light of God shines? You know, the glory of God is manifested through light. It says they didn't want the light. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God and they changed it. They don't want it shining at them. They don't want the light uncovering their dark deeds and their sinfulness. What is it that they wandered off to? Well, verse number 24 tells you. When they went into darkness, what is it that they did? This is an important thing for you to understand. What is it that man does when they reject the truth of God? Verse number 24, it says, it was when they wandered off into darkness, they wandered off into the uncleanness and the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies. What is it that they wanted to do? They wanted to serve the flesh. It became about a physical thing. They wanted to please their own bodies and please their own flesh. So when you leave the light and you go into darkness, you're going to go into sin and you're going to want to please your own flesh rather than walking spiritually in Christ. Now, there's a difference between talking about an unbeliever walking and a believer walking. Understand that. Let's not get the two conflated here. But they didn't want to walk spiritually. They wanted to reject the light. And they wanted to walk without light and just be led by darkness and just be led by their flesh, right? If they're going to fulfill the lust and the desires of their own flesh, what are they going to be led by? That flesh. Well, in order to do that, verse 25 tells us how they had to do that. It says that they changed the truth into a lie. Light, truth, is going to bring light. And then that light, you know, there's a conscience working in you, there's the Word of God, and if you're going to want to go out and serve your flesh and please your flesh and the uncleanness of it, guess what? You're not going to be able to do it with the blessing of God. Because God has clearly stated in His Word what the standard is. And so what they had to do is in order to not have the light and to not have that truth shining down on them and exposing their wicked deeds, it says they changed it. It's like, you know, that halogen light bulb is really bright. I'm going to change that light and I'm going to put a really dim one in there. You know, one that's broken, that doesn't work at all. It says that they changed the truth of God into a lie. They didn't just ignore the truth. What did they do to it? They perverted it. They changed it into the exact opposite. Let me show you another example of this outside of the book of Romans. Go over to John chapter number 1. You see, the issue of light and darkness in your Bible is the issue of truth and lie, spirit and flesh, God or man. And in John chapter number 1, it says in verse number 5, John 1, 5, "And the light," who's the light? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into the world. The world received him not. And when he came, he says, I am the light. I'm the light of the world. In verse John 1:5, he says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Look over at chapter 3 and verse 19. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Now, is Jesus saying that I walk around like, you know, I'm a big candlestick and I'm just a really bright light? That's not what he's saying. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to the earth, what did he bring? Truth. Knowledge. He came, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And so he came bringing truth that is a light to men. And it says in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. There is no innocent ignorance. The scripture says that the men loved the darkness rather than light. Isn't that a bit of an affection statement there? They preferred the darkness. Why? Because their deeds were evil. And so there's a preference there. This light and this darkness has to do with their deeds and what they know. And so they know that there was a light that was contrary to their deeds, so they preferred to stay in darkness. Look at chapter number 8. Look at chapter 8, John 8, and verse number 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Why? Because he's going to have the light. He's going to have understanding. He's going to be walking in truth, as long as you don't take that truth and pervert it into a lie. So turn back over to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 5 and get Titus chapter 3. Go back to our place in Ephesians. You see, it says in Ephesians 5, it says that, for ye were sometimes darkness. That word sometimes occurs two other places in your Bible. And both of those are a reference to what you were in time past before Christ saved you from your sins and pulled you out of darkness and put you into life. Both times that word the other two times that word is used, it refers to that. I asked you to get Titus 3, but look over at Ephesians 2 first, real quick. Ephesians 2 and verse number 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2 is the state of the Gentile world. All of the world, after they executed their rebellion plan of Romans chapter number 1 to go into darkness, and their minds just spiraled out of control. We were way out in darkness, and that's where we were. When Romans 1 talks about the foolish heart being darkened, we were way out into darkness. I mean, we just took the law, we took the truth, and we didn't just try to suppress it. We didn't hide it under a bushel to where it might shine through occasionally. We took it and we perverted it and turned it into a lie so it couldn't shine at all. But it's important for you to understand that God didn't just abandon the Gentiles in time past. We abandoned Him. You know, the Scripture doesn't say that God abandoned us. You see, we're the ones who took the truth and turned it into a lie. We're the ones who held the truth in unrighteousness, but God is merciful today. Manny sang about that mercy. God is merciful today in providing the means of reconciliation through the blood of His own Son. You see, when you look at Ephesians chapter number 2 and it talks about the Gentile being lost and without hope in the world and without God, and you say, boy, that's really rough, God. Why'd you do that to us? Oh, wrong thinking. God didn't do that to you. That's how you were. That's how all mankind was. And God was so merciful and so long-suffering that He called out Abraham and said, I'm going to work through a man to try to bring light and to be a blessing to the earth. And He called out Abraham and worked through the nation of Israel to be a light. But were the nation of Israel the light that they were intended to be? They were not. And so God comes along and now He considers Israel rejects Christ. And He turns to Paul down this dispensation of grace. He says, ye who were sometimes far off, now you are made nigh. That's not like God abandoned us back there. We abandoned Him. And now He comes along and He offers a means of salvation for everyone through His mercy and through His grace. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 19 says, and art confident that thou thyself are a guide of the blind and a light to them which are in darkness. He's talking to Israel over there in Romans chapter number 2. And he says, you know, you're confident that you're a guide of the blind. Who are the blind? That's the Gentiles. That you're a light to them who are in darkness. Who's in darkness? That's the Gentile nations of the world. Paul says, you're confident that you're those things, but guess what? As we're studying on Wednesday nights, he says that the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. He builds them up in Romans chapter 2, and he pulls the rug right out from under him and says, you're none of those things. You're none of what God intended you to be. You're none of what you should have been. And now, God has opened up. He says, now you're made nigh through the death of my Son and through the blood of Christ. Turn over to Titus chapter number 3. Always hold your place in Ephesians 5. We'll come back to it and keep referencing it. But in Titus chapter number 3, I want you to see that word being used again. Titus 3 and verse number 3. Paul says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Again, you notice the connection there. When you see those things, that's what a mind that's in darkness will do. It's going to go out and please the lusts of the flesh. It's what a Romans 1 tells them that they went out into doing. It's also what Ephesians chapter number 5, and I'm not going to do it for the sake of time, so I would just encourage you, if you're interested, to go back and read that this afternoon. When you go down through Ephesians chapter 5, you see all of the things that are there, that this is the opposite of how you walk in light. You want to see the opposite of how you walk in light? It talks about verse number 3, fornication. What's that? There's that pleasing of the flesh, right? Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as become a saint. These things don't become you as saints because you're in light and you have knowledge and you have truth and you should walk in these things. Why, having the light, would you go back in the darkness and operate like those people out in darkness operate? Your walk matters. Paul is describing you and me when he talks about these things. Until we trusted the gospel. He describes our state of being in darkness. You notice if you come back over to Ephesians chapter number 5, and he says in Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness. You notice there he doesn't say that you were in darkness. He doesn't say that, Joyce, you were really swell, and you were a great person, and you just happened to be in darkness. He says to us that we were darkness. There's a difference, isn't there? One is where you're standing at, and another one is a positional state. So he says, you were darkness. You weren't just naively in some nebulous state around you where there happened to be darkness and you were unfortunately in that darkness. You were actually part of the problem. You were the darkness. You were darkness. But he says, you know, sometimes you hear parents say, oh, my little Johnny, he's a good kid. He just got mixed up in the wrong crowd. No. If Johnny is in the wrong crowd, then Johnny's part of the problem. It's not like Johnny's innocent and then he gets around the wrong crowd and then, you know, they impact him. If he was a part of the wrong crowd, he's a part of the problem. He's not innocent, and neither were we. We were the problem. We were darkness. Now, we denied the truth and we turned it into a lie. We lived out the lie and we perpetuated that lie. And that's who we were. We were perpetuating the darkness. We were a part of that problem. So now we were in darkness, but now what are we? What does Ephesians 5:8 says? For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. You're light. We were darkness. That was our state of being. And now it doesn't say that you're just in the light. It's not like you're the same you. And he just takes you as the pawn or the chess piece on the board, and he moves your chess piece out of the darkness and puts you into some light over here and says, okay, now you have some light, do your best. No, this is a positional standing. This is an identification truth that you were darkness, but now ye are light. Turn over to get Colossians chapter number 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter 1. And 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. You see, in our lives, in our position, in our standing, and in our identity, there has been a complete transformation of opposites from one end of the spectrum, complete darkness, to the other end of the spectrum, complete light. So the point number 2, what are ye now? Ye are light. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. There is a complete translation of us that's been taken out of, not only taken out of and put into, but a complete different positional truth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. Did God give us the light and this knowledge of Jesus Christ just so that way we could go right back into the darkness and live in our sin? Is that why Christ did this? Did he just say, you know what, here, you know, take it or leave it. You know, do it if you want to. No big deal. That's not what you find. God forbid. We have been saved. And so what we are to do is we are to walk in the light of the Lord and with the light of the Lord, where we've been positioned. This is who you are. Now walk like it. You know, straighten up and walk like it. Not because there's a threat of a spanking if you don't, but just because you're foolish if you don't. Why would you? What benefit is there in doing that? So it's not out of the threat of the stick. You know, you hear the stick and the carrot. Why do you do it? Is there going to be a spanking or are you going to get a reward? You walk right, not because you're afraid of the stick. You've already been given the identity. You're put in the family. You do it because it is how we ought to be. Look over at chapter 6. You're in 2 Corinthians. Look at chapter 6. You see, this light and darkness doesn't mix. You're not now made light just to go back and mix in the darkness and live like you're in darkness. You see, they don't mix. They don't have fellowship with one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. He's going back into, as only Paul can, he goes back into Israel's program to make a point, and he pulls out and he says, look, you are not to have communion with darkness. You're light. What communion does light have with darkness? And he says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Now, if you're light and you're walking out in darkness as if you don't have any light, what light are you going to provide to the darkness? Absolutely none. Absolutely none. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, we're come to where we're to come at, we're to come out of them, from among them, we're to be separate, and now that is the picture that you and I are to have. We're to be in our mind, we're to have this relationship to the world where we're not mixing with them like oil and gas. You know, in order to reach the lost, we're not to go out and live like the sinful lost, right? Oh, just be you and just be authentic. And then when they ask you about Jesus, and then you have an opportunity. That's not a bad thing, you know, when you have an opportunity and they ask you about Jesus. But your life should be such a contrast to the darkness of this world that they couldn't help but see the difference. You understand what I'm saying? It shouldn't be, well, every once in a while, every once in a couple of years, I might get the chance to talk about Christ. Look, when you're walking as light, it should be offensive to those that were in the darkness. It says that they hated the darkness, or that they hated the light, because their deeds were evil. And when those people are out there living in their evil deeds, and they see someone walking in the light, they're going to be offended. They're not going to like it. So it should be obvious. Look back to Ephesians chapter 5 with this issue of what communion hath light with darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 11. Paul, if we go down verse number 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So you're not going to be able to get fruit if you're in unrighteousness, right? Because the fruit is only in righteousness. Back in Corinthians, it says, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? The fruit's only going to come from goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, how are you going to reprove them? Does that mean that you need to have a loud microphone going aloud, you know, blowhorn or what do you call that thing? Does that mean you go around your whole life waiting for people to slip up so that way you can say, hey, you did wrong. you're in sin. All of those. No, you don't go around with a blowhorn. How is it that darkness is reproved? It's reproved by the light. You see, you can reprove darkness simply by the way that you live your life. The contrast that's showed there will be a reproof to the darkness. Verse number 7 of Ephesians 5 says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't compromise. Don't put off the light just so that you can be accepted by the darkness. There's no fruit in that. All right. Point number 3 is, so now we have what, 5 minutes to do points 3 and 4, just like I told you. How did we get there? We were darkness. Now we are light. How did we get there? Well, we're there because we got put into Christ. And so in my mind, I thought about this and I wrote down a few logical steps. And in my mind, we were darkness. We are now light. We are in Christ. We were in Adam, which is darkness. Christ is God. Are you, okay, you following me here? Christ is God. What does the Scripture say about God? It says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness. Well, if Christ is God, and God is light, and you have been placed into Christ, that means you've been placed into God, which is light, where there is no darkness, you are light. That's your identity. That's your position. Your standing is light. That's who you are. Now, go over to John chapter 12 and Acts chapter 26. John 12 and Acts 26. Forget it, I'm going to skip John 12 for the sake of time. Just go to Acts 26. Over in John, there's other verses that prove that Christ is light, and that God is light, and Christ is God. And so it talks about, Christ goes on to talk about Him being the light unto the world. And that if you were to believe in Him, that you wouldn't be abiding in darkness. But Acts chapter number 26 is Paul talking to Agrippa. And I want us to read a few verses here, beginning in verse number 12. Paul in Acts chapter number 26 and verse number 12, it says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests..." So this is Paul back when he was in darkness, right? He was opposing Christ, and he was going out persecuting the believers. Verse 13, "At midday, O king," talking to King Agrippa, "I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth," does that ring a bell from Sunday school? "I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.'" Now there's a lot that can be said here about Acts chapter 26. And so let's see what we can condense and try to squeeze in just the minutes that we have. You know, he sees a light in verse number 13. What's the light that he sees? He says that the light that he sees is above the brightness of the sun. What's brighter than the sun? The glory of God. He sees the light of God. It's Christ Himself that he sees. So by the way, if he sees a light that's brighter than the brightest sun that's shining down upon him, then let me ask you, oh, by the way, when does it say that he saw him? Verse 13, at midday. When is the sun the brightest? He didn't say that, you know, it was getting a little bit towards dusk, and the sun was, you know, just kind of setting, and then I saw this light that was brighter than the sun. No, he says, as bright as the sun gets, I saw a light that was even brighter than that. It was the glory of Jesus Christ that appeared unto him. Now, by the way, what's your eternal destiny? You're going to manifest the glory of Christ. How bright are you going to shine? I think you'll shine above the brightness of the sun. Now, he sees the light. It's the glory of Jesus Christ. That is the light. That is what we are. Okay, there's a light there. Over in Romans chapter number 8, it talks about the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Is that going to be your glory or is that going to be Christ's glory? It's not going to be your glory. And so if it's going to be the glory of Christ that's going to be revealed in you, how bright are you? Pretty bright. And over in Ephesians, where it talks about our eternal state, it talks about us going to be to the praise of His glory. Now, he saw a physical light in verse number 13, but what's going to bring spiritual light is the voice of God that comes to him in verse number 14. Because the spiritual light is going to come from what? Understanding. Spiritual light is going to come from understanding. And so he can see something with a light physically, but what does he say? Who art thou? But when God speaks to Paul, he gives him understanding. And this is where spiritual light is going to come from. God is going to send Paul to the Gentiles. Notice why he tells Paul that he's going to send them to the Gentiles. Verse number 18. For what purpose is Paul going to go to the Gentiles? To open their eyes. Now, do the Gentiles have a bunch of problems, like when Christ came and he had to heal the blind man and he just picked some dirt up off the ground and he spit on it and wiped it on their eyes? That's how you know that Christ is a southerner. You know, it's because he just picked the dirt up and spit on it, wiped it on the eye, and everybody's good, right? This is not the problem that the Gentiles have. They don't have problems with their physical sight. They have problems with their spiritual sight. They've been in darkness for so long that they've gone way out into darkness. I'm tempted to use the word outer darkness, but outer darkness has a specific term in the Bible where you'll be there for eternity without Christ. But we were way out into darkness. God says, I'm going to send you to open their eyes, not physically, but spiritually, to give them spiritual light. Not to go out and perform miracles. That didn't work for Christ. That's not going to work for us Gentiles. And so it's going to, that when Paul goes out and opens our eyes, what is it going to do? Verse number 18 says it's going to turn them from darkness to light. And so, by receiving, how is it that you get turned from darkness to light? By understanding. But what is it that you're going to understand? Is Christ going to send Paul out with a coupon to where you can get a free set of encyclopedias to bring in your house, and you can read them every day, and you can get some head knowledge and get light that way? How is it that you're going to get light? How is it that you're going to be brought from darkness to light? Paul tells you in verse number 18, he says he's going to take them away from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. They're going to receive the forgiveness of sins. They're going to receive the righteousness of Christ. And being taken out of Adam and death and darkness, they're going to be placed into Christ and life and His light. And that's where we're going to be. You see, this is the historic struggle between good and evil. You know, Hollywood has made their money off of God's struggle. You know, Hollywood has made their money off of the story of truth, the struggle between good and evil, right? Movies come out and they have a plot line between good and evil. But how is it that you have men in darkness under the power of Satan, and you're going to turn them unto the power of God and unto His light? What is it that's going to win us over to the power of light? You know, are you going to have a sword fight? Is that what's going to bring you the victory and bring you from death? Is that what's going to take you out of the power of Satan, is to wield a sword and fight back? It is the power of the Word of God. It's the power of the Word of God. Christ committed His word unto the Apostle Paul, and Paul takes it out to the Gentile world so that their eyes might be opened, so that they might receive the forgiveness of sins, that way they might be called from darkness unto light, and to be pulled away from the power of darkness and the power of Satan, and to be brought into the kingdom of His dear Son, and to be given life. You see, it's the power of the Word of God that comes into your heart and mind. You trust the gospel, and then that light starts to shine forth, doesn't it? You trust the gospel, and what does the scripture say about the Word of God? That it's spiritually discerned. That those who are in darkness, they have no understanding. But you believe that gospel, and the light starts to shine forth, and it starts maturing, and you start bearing fruit, and you start showing signs of that life manifest in you. I'm not saying that we then go and, you know, that if you have no fruit, then obviously you're not saved. I'm not talking about the litmus test for your salvation. But what I am saying is that if you are saved and that light is working in you, that you should produce good fruit. That's what Ephesians 5 says. Ephesians chapter number 5, it says that you're in light and then here comes the fruit. You know, a tree doesn't produce if you put it in darkness, right? The people who grow things, I'm not one of them. What do? You put them up on the windowsill, right? You put them by the window. Why do you need to put them there? They need light to grow, to produce fruit. That's why Christ appeared to Paul to have him go to the world, is to preach the word and to bring life. And so Colossians chapter number 1, and we close with this verse, unfortunately. And we'll have to pick up here next week to close this out. Colossians chapter number 1, and look at verse number 12. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You know, your inheritance as a saint is in light. And when it says that you've been pulled out of the power of darkness, what was that over in Acts chapter 26? That was the power of Satan. What is it that Satan has been doing ever since the beginning of time? Has Satan been trying to cause us to pump more and more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere to block out the light of the sun? Has that been his strategy? Has Satan been going around causing your light bulbs to burn out in your house to create more darkness? How is it that Satan creates darkness? He perverts the truth and turns it into a lie, and he keeps that knowledge and that understanding from being pervasive among the earth. One day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back upon this earth. He's going to set up his kingdom for Israel like he always promised that he would. And there's going to be truth that will go out from Jerusalem and from his throne, and it will be unperverted, and there will be light upon this earth like there has never been before. Now that's not happening today. But you and I, as believers, have a life to be lived where we can manifest that light out through our life for that darkness to see. There's a life to live, and we have a responsibility to do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for taking us out of the darkness, putting us into light, and giving us that inheritance of the saints, that we might be in light and that we'll have it forever. Lord, may we not take your grace for granted. Lord, we're thankful that it provides the means of our salvation. What a cost, Lord, or a benefit that has no cost. That's why you've provided it to us by grace. But may we not rest upon that. May we not think that that's the end of the road. But may we look to how it is that you've instructed us to then live, and to see, as Ephesians chapter 5 tells us about the fornication and the uncleanness and how it's not becoming of saints. And may we look at these things, and may we as the light have no communion with the darkness of this world. But may we reflect your light, and may we be a witness to them. All in the effort to accomplish your will, Father, not our will, but yours. As we know that it's the will of God for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's the desire of our hearts as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.